you. Welcome to worship at First Baptist Church of Ann Arbor. It's so good to see you and to be together, and we welcome those of you who are worshiping with us at from home or school or work in Missouri and Minnesota, Florida, all kinds of places. We're glad you're with us, too. We invite you at elsewhere and in this room to sign in to our worship sign-in. Let us know who's with us and anything else you want to share. We also invite you to take a moment and look at the announcements and see how you can connect and engage in the life and ministry of this church. And we especially invite you to stick around this morning following worship and then fellowship time outside. We'll reconvene in this space at 11:30. We will also be on Zoom for anyone who wants to join us remotely for our annual program meeting, where we look back at this past program year and celebrate the highlights and accomplishments of our ministry, as well as look ahead and prepare for the coming year by electing a new slate of board members and officers. And it's going to be a good time, and I hope that you will join us. Kids and youth, too, you can stick around for it and see the adventure of life at First Baptist Church. Speaking of which, our big adventurer has an announcement.
I do have an announcement. We are doing a special Sunday spin into summer paper. What is that? Whoa! Somebody, wait a second. Somebody is already spinning. Something is, oh, yes. Okay, whoa. Keep going. Watch out for your heads. We are spinning into summer, and we invite you not to do cartwheels or whatever the other thing was. We just invite you to come and spin our spinner, which has lots of dates, because we have lots of ministry opportunities this summer. There are 12, 13 weeks with 10 opportunities each Sunday, so we hope that you might come and spin once or twice, maybe three times. You don't have to spin as often as Piper, but there are choices of options to greet, or to pass the offering plate, or to laugh and spend time with children, one of my favorite opportunities on the list. So I invite you to come see me after church, between church and the annual meeting, and of course after the annual meeting. This is a good action item connected to the life of our church and the way we support one another and make things happen here on Sunday morning. So come see me, come spin. Alan Burton, if you want to do a cartwheel, you can do a cartwheel too.
Anne, and thank you, Piper. We aren't really much of a blood theology church. We don't sing a lot of the old blood hymns. But there is some good stuff in some of them. And this morning I found myself singing, "There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb." And even if we aren't blood people, it is actually true. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious love and grace of God through Jesus Christ. And that's what we are here to open ourselves to today and to respond to. So let's worship.
Thank you. Please stand as you're able for the invocation. Gracious Lord, we are awakened this morning as we have been for millennia to the birds singing, to the color of flowers blooming, and to the rising of the sun. The world testifies to your peace. All of creation, and even when we fail to do so, Lord, grant us that peace of your creation this morning, that we may hear the words spoken today, and that we may hear your words spoken through them. Thank you for this time that we have together and for the opportunity to share your peace. Amen. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him.
pray with me. Loving God, you have been gracious to us. You do bless us. You do make your face to shine upon us. And we do praise you, O God. We are glad. We do sing for joy. We are grateful for your justice and the wonder-working power of your love. It's why we're here. Even so, Lord God, we are troubled by so much of what happens in our world, in our nation, in our own community, our homes, our families, and our hearts. So we lift our prayers to you for a broken and hurting world, for Ukraine, for other places where violence, conflict, horror, and evil seem to prevail. We lift our prayers for our broken and hurting nation. The division, polarization, the conflict, the anger, the hate. We are in horror again at race-based violence and the particular pandemic of gun violence in our country. We pray for the community in Buffalo, so hurt and wrecked by the violence that was targeted at the Black community there. And we pray especially for the family and friends of those who were killed last weekend. We remember them to you, and we say their names: Roberta Drury, Margus Morrison, Andre McNeil, Aaron Salter, Geraldine Talley, Celestine Cheney, Hayward Patterson, Catherine Massey, Pearl Young, Ruth Whitfield. We pray for soft hearts for ourselves and for our nation. We pray for the courage to look at ourselves, to repent of white supremacy in all its forms, to repent of all the ways we have failed each other and have failed your love. We have other prayers to lift as well. We pray for Melissa Ann Rogers and the rest of the family and friends of Jim Rogers. We pray for the family and friends of Alex Walker and for the family and friends of John Souter. We also pray for Ron Tipton, Phil White, Joe and Kathy Mortensen, Esther Floyd, Marilyn Marsh, Laura Parmalee, Mrs. Essie Slaughter, Ulysses Slaughter Jr., for Mike and Suzanne, Glenn Modell, Mia Germano, Del Jones, Katie Mason, Tom and Terry Rubenstein, John Rowe, Faye Key, Leah Grange, Lisa Hess, for Carl, for Marin Brocker, and for Chris Ledyard Argus. We also pray for the students in our community, in our church, in our families, as they struggle with the pressures of the end of the year and prepare to make another transition into summer. We pray for their teachers, their schools, and we pray for their mental health. We also lift our private prayers to you in silence. Loving God, you listen, you hear us, and you respond. Help us also to do the same. Help us to listen, to hear, and to respond with love. We pray all these things in the precious and powerful name of Jesus Christ, who taught us how to live and how to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The gospel reading today is from the Gospel of John, and in addition to the text as is printed for you, I'm going to add a couple of verses, words from Jesus from later in that same discourse. If you're able now, would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Jesus spoke these words to his disciples on the eve of his death. He said, Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the words that you hear from me are not my own, but from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I'm coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I'm going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I've told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, the Spirit will guide you into all truth. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Children, I invite you to come on forward. Come join me. did you hear when Teresa and Simeon and Penny's dad, David, was here? Did you hear him say, "Let the peoples play soccer"? Oh, did you hear that, Simeon? No, I didn't hear that either. But if David said, "Let the peoples play soccer," what would we need? Maybe we need a soccer ball. What else might we need? Maybe cleats to help our feet stick into the ground so we don't slip too much. Oh. Maybe you need some nets, some goals, so that you can score goals and so maybe you can win the game. What else might be helpful? A field. Do you need a coach? Maybe. Coach might be helpful. Do you need a water bottle? Yeah, would you like a snack? Snacks are good. I like snacks at soccer games. Yeah, snacks and water and a coach, maybe a referee. Some nets. Teammates. Some people to play with, maybe. So those are lots of great things if David had said, "Let the peoples play soccer." But you know what I heard him say today from the psalm? Let the peoples praise God. What do you think we need on a Sunday morning to praise God? If we say, "Let the peoples praise God," do we need a soccer ball? No, probably not. What are some things we need, though? What are some things we'd like to have? What do we... Oh, Piper said, snacks. Yes, you can say that loud. Snacks. We love to have snacks. What else? Oh, chocolate milk, maybe. Maybe your water bottles, yes. How about people? Chocolate milk. How about the choir to sing beautiful songs? How about fabulous pastors to preach and to share the word? Yeah, he's kind of like a soccer ball. Kind of helpful to have. Black and white on he's got. Yeah. Do we have people gathered? Yes. So we have friends to play with and to pray with. We have all kinds of things. So in the psalm today, we hear, "Let the peoples praise God." And there are lots of things that help us do that. Miss Mary, she helped us get bulletins today. And this helps us know what's happening. We could maybe do without, but this helps us know what's going on when. Let's see. Lyra, would you stand up a second? And could you please pass these out? Could you just pass out one bulletin to somebody? This is a fancy word for this is called a bulletin. Good. Look, see? Lyra is greeting. You can pass it to Emma. Great. And you can pass it to Sammy. Great. Yes. Oh, so Lyra can greet on a Sunday morning. She can help us just like Miss Mary did. Great. You can have a seat. You sing for us. You, when you pass out bulletins, you can also help the kids see about the worshipful play bags. So kids can help us greet. Teenagers help us act like. And we all do lots of things. And it's all part of saying, "Hey, let's praise God together." And like soccer, really all you need is something to kick around. We don't need a lot of things here at church, but it helps church go smoothly. It helps people feel welcome. It helps people know what's going on when we work together to say, "Hey, let the peoples praise God." Will you say that with me? Let the peoples praise God. Can you say it with a big voice? Let the peoples praise God. Yeah. And we can all be a part of it. All right, let's head to church school together.
Let us pray. Most gracious, most compassionate, most generous God, in words that are now spoken humanly, may the living, awakening, life-giving word of your Spirit reach through and raise us to the purpose to which you've called us. May we hear it. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. When I think of the word remember, I hear it on a very particular, magnificent voice. At least when I hear that word as instruction or as command, there is no question it will come to me on the incomparable voice of James Earl Jones. And I hear that some of you get that connection. It's a scene from the animated film The Lion King. The great Lion King, Mufasa, has been murdered by his brother. Now the son of Mufasa, Simba, is tormented by grief because he's been falsely told his father's death is his fault. So he runs away to some far-off place and for a long time lives a carefree, devil-may-care life. Until one day, he sees an old shaman monkey named Rafiki. Simba says, "Who are you?" Rafiki says, "The question is, who are you?" "I know who you are. You are Mufasa's boy." And he takes off running, with Simba trying to keep up. He leads him to a pool of water, has him look in. Simba says, "That's just my reflection." Rafiki says, "Look harder. He lives in you." And then Simba hears his name being called and looks up to see his father's face filling the night sky. He hears his father say, "You have forgotten who you are, and so you have forgotten me. You are more than you have become. Remember who you are. You are my son, the only king." And as the face begins to fade from the sky, the deep, rich James Earl Jones voice says, "Remember who you are. Remember. Remember." And that is an old plot line, somebody needing to be reminded of who they really are and what they are really supposed to be living for. It's a standard plot because it's so typical of us to forget what matters most about ourselves and how we are to live. And isn't that an odd, odd thing, to forget something so absolutely central? Sure, forget your password. Forget your keys. Forget somebody's name. Forget why you just walked into a room. But forget who you are. When I went to my 10th high school reunion, as we gathered and began to mingle, there was this kind of icebreaker activity that included a sheet full of questions about our high school days. What big events happened? What was called what? Who did what? Well, I knew who the quarterback was, and I could not forget the homecoming queen, and I remembered what the big musical was. One of the questions of several that stumped me was, who was the senior class president? I had no idea. You see it coming. And then they gathered us all back and the answers were called out. Who was the senior class president? It was me. The answer was me. Which probably says a whole lot about what a high-functioning president I'd been. It says much more about what an airhead I have always been. But to me, it also serves as just another ridiculous, clownish example of how clueless a person can be about what is true of their own lives. And from there, we can widen the frame and see how we do this all the time collectively, whole communities, whole nations, forgetting our history, the best parts of it and the worst parts of it, forgetting the lessons of the past, the truest of our values and commitments and practices that are life-giving, not death-dealing. And we live as if we had no clue. So E.E. Cummings wrote, "Humanity, I love you because you were perpetually putting the secret of life in your pants and forgetting and sitting down." Reasons for our collective forgetfulness abound. We are susceptible to lies. Our anxieties are easily agitated. We are distracted by false narratives, false pleasures, false power, false ego. And the world keeps changing and we can't keep up and we can't handle it. And so we regress or we lash out or we turn inward to smallness. On an individual level, this may be true by external voices screaming at us or interior voices whispering to us falsehoods about who we are. You don't measure up. You don't have enough. You don't look right. You don't love right. You don't achieve right. Better conform. Better blend in, submit, find comfort for yourself in pleasures, bury yourself in them or in grievances. Seek nothing higher, seek nothing deeper, attempt nothing that matters and really costs you something because this is not who you are. Honestly, how does anyone remember the deep truth of who they are with all that screaming in your face or constantly whispered up from your own damaged mind? Jesus understood this part of our human condition and knew very well it would always be an issue with his own people. And so according to John's gospel, on his final night, he addressed this issue with his friends. He had given them bread and wine, taken a towel and washed their feet. He had spoken the most intimate words of his love for them and their love for him and for each other. And then he acknowledged that in the future they were going to need help remembering. And he told them that help was indeed on its way. He said that after he was gone, a companion would come to them, whose work would be to help them remember. He was referring to the Holy Spirit, describing the Spirit with this fascinating word that means literally the one who speaks from beside you. Translated variously in English as companion, counselor, comforter, advocate, helper. On his last night, Jesus spoke repeatedly of that promised companion, comforter, counselor, advocate, helper, who speaks from beside us. And at one point he says, the companion, the Holy Spirit, will teach you everything and will remind you of all I have told you. The love of God knows how hard it can be to hold on to what is most vitally true. Of course we'll be prone to forget, but there's help to be had far greater than the false clamorings around you or within you, far greater than all distractions and delusions and oppressions or reduction of you from the beauty and the power of the deepest truth. Listen. The Spirit, your companion, our companion, is saying, remember who you are. You are a child of infinite love. You are the very handiwork of the Creator of the universe. You are cherished and of infinite worth. You have a Savior and a leader and a Lord. You are not to live in shame or guilt or fear or smallness or despair. You are never, ever alone. Always with you is the presence and the power of God. Always with you is the beloved community. Your purpose, individually and together, is to embody God's love and share it in this world. Your purpose, individually and together, is to bear witness to what is true, to live for what is just and right. Your purpose is joy. Jesus, who taught us all of this and so much more, is vanished from the world. Vanished from a world our eyes can see. But his Spirit lives as companion, advocate, counselor with us, within us, beside us, and among us. And to lean into that Spirit in worship, in conversation together, in devotion, in the hands-on practicing of the Christ life together, we remember over and over and over, yes, who we are. But here's a paradox about such remembering. To reclaim some truth that is precious and vital and old, and to hold it close, is prelude to discovering new truth that flows from the old. In our faith, to remember is a looking backward whose purpose is to move us forward to what we didn't know before. If you and I could recall and reclaim every changeless truth once given, we would still be in need of guidance into new truth too, for the new day in which we live. When Jesus told his disciples God would send a counselor to remind them of all he had shown them, Jesus also said the counselor will teach you all things, not just remembered ones, but newly revealed ones. And so in this same conversation, he went on to say, I still have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, the Spirit will guide you into all truth. This is such a riveting, radical word that it's hard for me to believe we don't quote it more often. Get this. On his last night with them, he said, I've got lots more to tell you, but I'm not going to, because you can't handle it. So when I'm gone, a spirit will come and will speak new words from me to you. Time will keep unfolding. The world will change. There will emerge new realities, new knowledge, new needs and opportunities and contexts. And the same Holy Spirit that calls us to remember and helps us to remember will speak also in new words from Jesus. Truth we hadn't seen before or heard before, but because we do remember what he showed us before, becomes clear to us now that here is new guidance, new gift. There is so much Jesus didn't mention in his time. But as the centuries moved on, do you think he may have spoken new words? Over forcing children into labor? New words over colonialism? New words spoken over slavery? Over racism, over women, over sexuality and gender, over economic and political systems, over creation itself? Do we really think he's had nothing to say? But here all along he has been, here all along has been the Spirit reminding us what Jesus taught us from before, and coming now to new circumstances, opening our hearts to new connections, new discoveries, new applications and implications, new relationships, new possibilities, new questions. Listen, authentic Christian faith is not a finished religion. Christ is still speaking, the Spirit still leading and revealing. As is often said in the recovery movement, more will be revealed. You know the real reason that all those early Christian communities believed that Jesus was risen from the dead? It is not because some people said they saw him in this or that place, in this or that time. It was mostly because his lively spirit kept showing up and kept speaking to them. New words, new insight, new love, new relationship, new guidance, new opportunities, new empowerment. And still he speaks. And the Spirit says, remember. And the Spirit says, discover. And the people say, the Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. Worship is a good deal more than what we may or may not receive as we gather. Worship is always brought to its completion by what responses we make with what we possess and with who we are and what we intend to do with the time we're given. And so worship includes the offering of our material possessions, and with it, it includes the offering again of ourselves to the gifts and the purposes of God. Let us offer our gifts.
We have met to worship and adore.
Rich in love and blessing as we are, we extend to one another also the peace of Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you.
I just want to say, first of all, reminder, we'll be coming back here in just a bit for our annual program meeting. Hope that you'll stay for that. And secondly, I was very excited to see that Lauren Fuller is here this morning. Lauren has been a part of The Gathering, our campus ministry group, for the past 4 years, since she was a freshman. She's from the other side of the state. She got back from Spain for foreign study this semester, and she graduated from the University of Michigan 2-3 weeks ago with her BA in Spanish and English. She's been a part of our congregation in addition to being part of campus ministry for these 4 years, and has helped with our youth ministry. And I just found out she's here in Ann Arbor for the summer, maybe more. So make sure you say hello to Lauren and congratulate her. Our sole graduate in The Gathering this year. Congratulations. What a time to go through college. When she started, we were all in person, and then by the end, it was wild. But blessings on you, and we're so proud of you. Thanks for being here this morning. Now let's receive the benediction.
power more alive than you have been.
Against all forms of death, fearless.
In every opportunity for love, be extravagant.
Go in rising joy.
Go in boundless peace.